All right, we'll start at the bottom of Kaf Gimel Amud Bet. Yesterday we discussed Rabbi Elezer's opinion in Nidrei Zeruzin, that he extended the concept of Nidrei Zeruzin beyond commercial instances, where it was a bargaining, and they added to that the case where someone is invited to a meal, or being pressured to come to a meal, and the inviter is trying to encourage the invitee to come, and he puts pressure on him by making a neder. Rosh Miyakov said that his intent is not really to make the neder, but his intent is to be a nidrei zeruzin, to push him in the direction that he wants. As a sidebar, yesterday we discussed the making of tonight at the beginning of the year, and the impact of that on whole nidrei. Now the Gemara asks at the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet, the second to last line, Yibailu, Pligi Rabbana Leid Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Alo. Do the Rabbonon argue on Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov or not? I mean, do they agree to this position of his with Nidrei Zeruzin to extend it beyond commercial interests? And even if they do argue, Vilchus Kavate Arlo, is the Halacha like Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov or not? Even though general, we'd say Halacha Kerabim, but Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov is a special standing in the Gemara because his Mishnayos were Kav Vinaki, which is that they were considered very well-founded, and he was considered well-founded and clear with his Mishnahs, and therefore sometimes the Lach is like him. Even as a Yochid. So now Tashma, did not have a Mishnah. Ha'omer l'chaveiru konim she'eni nehenei lach im I atanotea levincha kur shalchiti mishtei chaviyot shal yayin. So a person says that I will not get any benefit from you if you don't take this barrel of wheat and these two barrels of wine or jugs of wine. So harizei yachol hatirat nidro shel al pi chacham. This person can get rid of his neder without a chacham. Shechul amalo, he could say, klum amart el b'shvil kvodi. The only reason that you asered hano amit, because you want to give me these two items. And didn't you only do this b'shvil kvodi, because of my honor? Zehu kvodi, my kavod is that I don't accept the gift, meaning that you wanted to give me a gift so that people would look at me and say, wow, this guy gave me a gift. And I'm saying to you that I don't like taking gifts, and my kavod is the ability to reject the gifts from you. By rejecting the gift, that's the kavod that I would get. So, time of Amar Zehu kvodi. The reason that the nether does not work here is because he says, this is my honor, that I'm not accepting the gifts. Halab Hakri, without this, nether who? It would be a nether. Mane, who's the author of this Mishnah? E Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, if it's Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, Nidrei Zeruzin Havi. This is equivalent of a case of Nidrei Zeruzin, because he's saying, he's just trying to press him to accept the gift. He's not really intending to take the nether. His intention is just to put pressure on him to accept the gift. So it can't be Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. Ella, who is it? It's Elis Raminaz Plige Rabbanon Ale. Or that it's Elab, that it's the Rabbanon. And then Raminaz, the Rabbanon argue on Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. Because here you see the Rabbanon say the only reason that this nether falls apart is because of this little twist with Kavod. Meaning that if he can say, my Kavod is not accepting the gifts, that's how he can get rid of the nether. But otherwise, it would be a valid nether. Right? If it's a valid nether, the author is the Rabbanan, not Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. We see that they argue on him by Nidrei Zeruzin. Where is up, Olam, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov? You know, really it is Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. Umo, the Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov behind Nidra. This is an unusual nether. David, Amarlei, Lav Kalba, Anna. I'm not a dog. Demitanina minach, that I'm going to get an offer from you. Velo mitani, it's minai, and you don't get any offer from me. So you see that the circumstances make it that this would be a nether had it not been for the fact of kavod. Why is that? So let's understand the difference between this and our Mishnah. Meaning that Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov in our Mishnah says when he's putting pressure on him to come to eat by him, that is considered nidrei zeruzin. That's considered a pressure and not a nether. Yet over here, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov is suggesting that this is a real nether, because there's some feelings here that he has that make it that he would really take the nether and not simply say that he's putting pressure on him. So what's the difference? So there are two possibilities of what the difference is. Duran says One possibility is the way that the nether is structured. Over here, the nether is structured that he says, the mizamein, right, the one who's inviting, is also the mizuman, the one who's invited, right? I mean, that's, he says, konim, she'eni nehene lecha, that he takes a nether that you will not get any benefit from me. I mean, that the person who is trying to be pressured, pressuring him to take the gift, restricts him in his, restricts the person who's supposed to receive the gifts in getting any and all from him. Versus in our Mishnah, what's the case? In our Mishnah, he restricted, right, when he said, come to my house to eat. If you don't come to my house to eat, right, then I will not get any benefit from you, right? I mean, that's the opposite of what we have here. So that's one possibility with the differences of who's being restricted in Hanoah here, right? Whether it's the invitee, right, that's been restricted in Hanoah, or is it the inviter that's restricting himself in Hanoah? Right, so in our Mishnah, it's the inviter is saying that he will not get Hanoah, whereas here it's the invitee that's being restricted in Hanoah. So that would be the difference, because then you could say he was doing a dafka. He's really taking the net there because he said that this is an uneven relationship. You won't accept gifts from me, but you give gifts to me. Meaning that I'm getting Hanoah from you, and you're never letting me return that favor. And so he feels it's uneven. When he takes the net there, it might have been something that he took, right, for real. That's one possibility. The other possibility, what the difference is the size of the gift. Right? In the Mishnah, what's the gift? In the Mishnah, the gift is that he asked him to come over for a meal. Coming from for a meal is not something where you have to have an even exchange. People invite people over for meals, even though, you know, they haven't done anything for them, even though they haven't invited them over. I mean, it's not an automatic assumption that has to be a two-way street when someone is invited over for a meal. Whereas in this mission over here, what's the gift? The gift is a kur shochitim, two jugs of wine. That's a significant gift. Why is it a significant gift? The only reason he would give a significant gift is because he's already received something from the other party. You know, he would only be gifting this type of amount or this volume because he also got benefit from the other individual. And he feels that it's an exchange of some sort, it's an even exchange, where he wants to repay the Hanoah. And he feels that the guy does not accept the gift, that he's cheating him out of having that relationship where they can both give back and forth. So according to the second explanation, the Rana, it's the size of the gift that determines the difference. Meaning that when it's a small gift, we just assume that he's just nidrei zeruzin, because he's just trying to pressure him to come over, not because he feels there's an uneven relationship. Whereas when the size of the gift is so big, it must be because he's trying to repay him for a tovah that he did for him. And if he doesn't accept it, he's going to feel that there's an uneven relationship. And that's why he's taking the net there, not because of nidrei zeruzin, but because he feels the unevenness or the unfairness of their relationship, and therefore he's trying to dafka take a nether to even out the relationship. Then I'm not going to get any more benefit from you if you don't accept this gift from me, because the relationship, right, is uneven. And so those are two ways to explain the difference between why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov here will say that it's hakal ba'ana, am I a dog, that it's an uneven relationship, versus the Mishnah, which says it's nidrei zeruzin, that it's being pressured. And the first one is because who's being restricted in Hanoah? Right, versus he says over here, the person who's going to accept the gift says, or giving the gift says, that I will get no benefit from you, right, the other individual, because he's trying to even out the relationship. That's one possibility, versus in the Mishnah, where he's not trying to even out the relationship, he's making the nidrei zeruzin because he's saying, you won't get any benefit from me if you don't come to my meal, which is that it's all from the one side, and he's not trying to even it out. So that's one possibility in the round. The second possibility is the size of the gift. And so those two possibilities will come into play later on when the Gemara changes its mind about what it's changing its mind about. Okay? So now, the next case, the Tashma, next proof. Ha'omer l'chaveru, konim sh'ata nenet li, im atat noten li b'ni kor shel chitim u'shtei chaviyot shalayim. So this person says to his friend, konim sh'ata nenet li, I restrict you from getting, that you will get enough from me. If you do not give my son, so this guy basically says, you can't get any benefit from me unless you give me this gift. And he's basically pressuring the guy to give a gift, either to himself or to his child. It's unclear which one he's giving it to here. I mean, whose kavod is it for? Is it for himself, or is it for his child's kavod that he wants this gift? He basically says, don't come to the wedding unless you bring this gift. That's basically the nether he takes here. So now you can't make this Kal Ba'ana statement because of both reasons. One is that he's restricting himself, the other guy, from getting hung off from him, right? So it's not that he's saying, I won't get hung off from you. It's saying, you won't get hung off from me, which says that's not trying to even out the relationship. That's one. And number two, right? Number two is, here again, the gift is a significant gift, but he's demanding the gift. It's not that he's giving the gift, he's demanding that the guy give him the gift. So now the Gemara says, all right, who's the author of this? Who's the author of this? Rabbi Meir Omer, Achitain, which is the Bach from Mensa Street, Omer Asur Achitain, that the nether goes into effect until he gives it. Same language we saw above, that you don't need a tachachom to be matter the nether. Shechol Omar, you can answer him. Harini ki'ilu hitkabalti. It's as if I received it. The Amar, Harini ki'ilu hitkabalti. So you could say, why that since I received it? What was the reason that he said, I want this gift given before you come to the wedding? You know, you want to come to the wedding and bring me this gift? It was because he needed to fill out the wedding, meaning that run fast in two ways. Either because he was making a wedding and he was short some of the food, so he wanted this guy to, you know, help him out to make the wedding. So then what happens, he ends up being able to pull it together and make the wedding without this gift from this guy. So then when he shows up and the guy said, you know, he didn't give the gift, he said, you know what, the nether wasn't, I really wanted it from you, but in the end, I was able to pull it together. It's as if I got it from you, I don't really need it anymore. You know, I don't need your gift anymore. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that he's saying, give it to my children. The reason is he's saying, give it to my children. And if the children then say, you know, that we, it's as if we received it, come to the wedding, because, you know, we put the thing together, we don't need that kavod, you can come to the wedding. All right, happens to be, the Rambam brings down, Machlokes Rishonim here about, we'll get to that later. Let's just get through the Gemara. Taima, Dama, Hareini, Ki'ilu, Itkabalti. So the reason that this nether falls apart is because he says it's as if I received it. Halavachi netheru, otherwise it would be a good nether. Meet Mani, who's the author of this mission again? Who are the Chachamim? E, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Nidre, Zirusin, Avi. Right, it should be, again, a nether that was used to pressure somebody to do something. He took the nether to force him to bring this gift. Right? It's not because he really wanted to take the nether. If it's the Rabbanon, then they're arguing on Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, because they say, even in the case of Nidre Zerusim, where you're trying to put pressure on, still a valid nether. So I says, no, the old Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. That's really Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Moder Rav Elazar behind Nidre Havi, behind the Nidre Havi. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov admits in this case that it's a nether and not a Nidre Zerusim. Why? So Darmalei, Lav Malka Ano. I'm no king. I'm no king that I give you benefit and you give me no benefit. So the above case, it was which is that I always receive benefit from you, but you never take benefit from me. Here, the claim is the other way around. He says this relationship is uneven because I am always giving you and you are never returning to me. So the fact that he is pressuring this guy to bring him a gift is because he feels... what? There's an unevenness again to the relationship. Here, the unevenness is the other way. I'm always giving to you, but you're never giving back to me. And therefore, don't show up to my wedding unless you bring a gift, so that we have some sort of evenness to this relationship. So based on that, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will say that he's not an Nidre Zeruzin, because he's not really trying to pressure him. He has a beef with this guy. He has a real issue with this individual that they do not have an even relationship. And he's trying to force him to even out the relationship. And therefore, if he violates Nether, it would be a valid Nether, because he says, I don't want this relationship to continue if it doesn't even out. And therefore, it would be a valid Nether, unless, again, he says, Ki'il Hid Kabalti, as if I accepted it, meaning that he feels like he got that gift already, or he feels like that the evenness was already, they were playing on an even plane, even though he did not receive it.
He is trying to pressure him, but maybe the way in which it seems different from our mission is that the pressure is not specifically really for this gift. It's to address a more general imbalance, as opposed to, he wants him to deal with it. It's a...
Right, but that trying to even out the relationship means that when he takes the nether, he means the nether to be carried out, because that, there are two ways to even out the relationship. Either you do what I say, Or the nether will do the same thing as what I'm trying to say, which will even out the relationship, either by stopping me from giving you benefit anymore or from stopping you from getting benefit from me. So there are he's saying there are two methods to even out the relationship. Either you listen to me or my nether. And those are the ways we're going to even out this relationship. Right, exactly. So those, by doing that, it must mean that the nether is literal and not Nidrei Ruzin, as opposed to the Mishnah, where he has no agenda except to have a meat there. And when that's the only agenda, then we can say that it's Nidrei Zeruzim, that it's all pressure to eat there, but not to create a larger agenda of evening out the relationship. So far, we've tried twice to say that the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov, and say that they, in both cases, we say no, that really they don't argue on Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov, and Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov's position, right, is now we're narrowing Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov's position of when something's considered a Nidrei Zeruzin. When is it considered a nether for pressure versus when we could say that it is a real nether? And now we've narrowed it down that when he has larger agendas to even out the relationship, those are not considered Nidrei Zeruzin, but rather real nidor. Now the Gemara's going to try and take one more time. Amalei Mark Shisha Breder and Pistler Rashi Tashma Nidrei Onsin. This is a Nidrei Ones where we're going to have something that a unforeseeable factor is going to come up that's going to stop him from being able to carry out the nether. So it's one of the four nedarim that we mentioned in the beginning of the parak that fall apart themselves. So what's that case? Hidiro chavero shiokol etzlo. He made a nether that his friend should eat by him. V'chalahu ochal b'no. And the friend got sick, or chalah b'no sick, or his son got sick, oshikvunar, or the river got in the way and he couldn't get there. Alright, so all these cases, there's an exogenous variable, right, that is blocking him from carrying out the request. So halav hafi. So why does the nether considered not a nether? It's because there's an onus in between. Right? There's an onus that's blocking the person from carrying out the request, which means to come eat by him. If you don't come eat by me, then I'll be also not from you, or you'll be also not from me, but right? The reason you didn't come was not because you didn't want to come, it's because something else got in the way. So how love hachi? So we're not for this exogenous parable that got in the way. Nether who? It would have been a real nether. Samani, who's the author of this statement? That what, even in this case where he's putting pressure on him, that it is a valid nether. This should be just a nether for pressure. This is like our Mishnah. Now we don't have the answers of Kalba Ano, Malka Ano, because here he's simply pressuring him to come and eat by him. Right? So from both perspectives, this is not considered a nether, because it's not a large gift. Number two is that he's not talking about their relationship. It's not about their relationship. Ella, Lab, Rabbanan. It must be that they are, that's a Rabbanan. Upligate, and they argue on Elazar ben Yaakov. Someone says, no, the Olam Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Again, says, Misvara de Adre Mazmena Bismino. Who do you think initiated the nether here? The way the Mishnah reads is that who initiated the nether? The inviter was inviting this guy, and he says, if you don't come, you're also bound off. Right? He's trying to pressure him to come. That's the way we read the Mishnah. He says, don't read the Mishnah this way. Look, the Zamina Adre le Mizamna. So he says that it was the other way around. The invitee caused the nether. What is this? The Amarlei, Mizamanet li lisud dadech. The invitee says, you invite me over. I want to come for a meal. Amarlei, in. He says, sure. All right, come on. He says, nether zeralei. So the invitee says, this nether's on you. That what? That if you don't invite me, if you don't actually happen, then you'll be restricted in a no. The nadar. He took the nether. V'chalahu, oshachalah v'no. And then he got sick. Or his son got sick, shikfunar, and then he couldn't get across the river. So, halehelu nidrei onsin. That is a nether onus, because who is the initiator of the nether? Right? We thought that it was the inviter that was the initiator. Then you can understand he's putting pressure on the guy to come. But over here, it's the other way around. He wants to be invited, right? And he's pressuring the guy to invite him. Then once the guy invites him, he wants to do it in a way that the guy doesn't reverse the invitation. So he insists, you take the nether, that you're not going to reverse this invitation. So there you can't say it's a nidrei zeruzin, it's a nether for pressure. That's a real nether, because he wants to lock in his invitation. So he locks in his invitation. Therefore, if there's something exactly his barrel of assassin from coming, then we say that the nether was a nether only. But without those variables, and he doesn't show up, the nether takes effect because he really meant the nether that he took. All right, now, so that's three tries. And in each of these cases, again, we and did what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say, again, narrowing down where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say that it was a nidre zihusin, right? One case, again, the first two cases are because of the unevenness of the relationship, and the third case here is because it's who's generating the neder, who's pushing for the neder, right? Now, the last one, where the Gemara is going to be unable to escape from it, all right, is this, Tashma, Yeter al Kain, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. More than this, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, So if he says to him, that I will give benefit to you if you don't come over to me and eat hot bread with me and drink wine, or hot water, and then the other person got upset, right? Of Elu Nidre Zeruzin. These are still Nidre Zeruzin. Bit Lo Hodu Lo Chachamim. And the Chachamim do not agree. Alright, now we're stuck. Alright, so what is that? Right, what does it mean now? Lo Hodu Lo Chachamim. They don't agree. That means that it's clear here that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is talking about a case of Nidre Zeruzin. We can't get out of this Nidre Zeruzin answer. And the Chachamim clearly don't agree with him. So now, that we'll have to twist the wind a little bit, but you really can't get out of this situation. But the question is now, what does this brisk or grace that we just brought impact the answers we gave above? Does it undermine the answers we gave above, or, right, does it not? And that's going to be the subject. That's why I gave you the two explanations above, because that's going to matter how we explain the cases above. All right, so now the Gemara says, what does it mean that Chachamim don't agree with him? Lav dafku b'kamaisa. Even in the first cases, right, v'shmamina, pligei rabbanan aleit, v'sit rabban arim, shmamina. That's the conclusion, right? The Gemara says it's clear that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov argues on the Chachamim, or the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now,
not just for the details of the case, but from the Russian of the Hudla Chachamim, means that they're already cholek and they're not moving even over here.
Right. Well, the question is what? Right. In this case, now, what do we do with the cases above? Well, we answered up for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, right, that we said, what's the reason? What's the reason that we said above Lav Kalba Ana? How it was different from our Mishnah, right? Lav Kalba Ana means that this is different from our Mishnah because of one of two possibilities. One is because of who is restricting the Ana on whom, right? That was one possibility. The other one was because of the size of the gift. So now that'll make a difference now based on the Mishnah, on the Braisa here that we brought that has Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's position in it. Because, here, if you look in the Ran, you see, and then we could just explain it quickly. Yes, sir.
In the case of the Mishnah was what?
Where he restricted Hana on himself, meaning that you can't get Hana from me if you don't come and eat by me.
And this case is?
Right. This case is Konim Shanin El Akloch, that I will give, right? I will give you Hana. It's like our Mishnah, right? In that case.
So what was the Mishnah's case? The case of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov.
In the Mishnah, in our Mishnah,
yeah,
is that you cannot get enough from me if you don't come over to me, basically. Same as our Braisa right here. Similar to the Braisa.
Okay.
But it's different than the case we brought above in the Mishnah so here.
The question that we're trying to ask, the question that we're trying to answer here,
right,
the whole time, is does the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's position in the Mishnah?
Right. Well, that was what we're trying to argue.
So here we have the exact same case in the Mishnah. So what do we?
It seems like it's the exact same case in the Mishnah, right? That's what, so far, it looks like we've solved the problem with regards to the Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do with these other Mishnah's embraces that we've brought down along? I mean, does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov still agree to the coming in those positions, or does he disagree with them? And that'll depend on how you differentiate between the Mishnah and the cases over here, right? So that's. Let's just do the Ron. It's the best Ron to do. Yes, it's the last Ron on the dot. It's 2, 4, 6, 8 from the bottom. 8 lines from the bottom. It's the last Ron. It says, Yeter al Kain, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, Haidamar Yeter al Kain. What does it mean, Yeter al Kain? More so. Right? Mishum de Haka Avagab the Shaykhul Mimar Lab Kalba Ano. You could have answered up there with Lab Kalba now. Share you Osir Hanatim Zuman al Atzmo. He's ostering the other party on him. If he will not receive from him, right? Anazu mshumachi klamikar b'davka nadar, that he really took this nether. Afilu hachi amar lebez Yaakov's nitri zivuzinay. Right. So now, according to this first opinion, this is different. The brisa is different than our Mishnah, in the sense that what he this brisa over here is different because he said Ponem Shani Nenelach, right? That you will not get, that he's saying that the Mezuman, Osir Hanat Mezuman Alatzmo, that I will not get any Hanah from you, right? Not like I said, right? So it's not like what I just said. But the Bryce is now saying, what? I will not get Hanah from you if you don't come over and eat. Versus our Mishnah says, you cannot get Hanah from me if you don't come over and eat. Right? That sounds like the first Mishnah that we brought up above. So you could have answered
that.
Right, our clear is totally unclear. But the assumption is that depending on how you differentiate the case, the first, they have to differentiate this case where they answer Kalban Aina from the case of the Mishnah. So that this, according to the first opinion, that was the difference, was who's getting restricted and not. Right, so over here, our Braisa sounds like the first Mishnah we tried to bring a proof from, which is what? I'm restricting myself from getting Hanah from you if you don't come over. Which is different than the Mishnah, which says, I'm restricting you from getting enough from me if you don't come over. And then he says, that's what, you could have answered up. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov could have answered up, lav kalbana, just like he answered up above. The fact that he doesn't means what? He doesn't hold of that. Flipes there. That when we set up above that answer of Lav Kalbanu, that was just trying to push the Gemara along. It was an attempt to do it. The Lav Kushta the Milsu, but that's not the. Then the bottom line is that he does not hold of that because we have a Mishnah that looks exactly like the Mishnah above that we said by Lav Kalbanu. And what do we say? Our Glazer Mappa says it's Nidrei Tibusin. Well, the idach perusha, but the second perush we gave was that it had to do with the size of the gift. Over here, this gift is not sizable, right? The kadmina at the time the lav kabana mushum the flavina ben matana ruhupa the matana muetit. We differentiated between a big gift and a small gift, right? Hayetarkin darmin haka lav mushum to lo kashin at the time of the lav kabana. No, then that transition of kabana can stay in place because why? That mishnah up there was talking about a large gift. This bright was talking about a small gift. So I gave him the matam of the entity, lo shayach lemer hakli. In our case here, there's no reason to believe. So then what does it mean, yeter al kain? I mean, what's the addition to what it was considered? Yeter al kain, kamar mishum sakadata, came into miyake. Since he enumerated exactly what he wanted to eat, kamar patchama, because shalchamin, dafka nadav lo zuzay ba'alma, from Ashmalan, that's still considered a nidrei zeruzin. So that's the question here, what is the chiddush of this brayso? When Rabbi Elazar, we see over here, yeter al kain. Yeter al kain means this is more than we know about Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov from before. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we already know, said Nidrei Zeruzin, that when you put pressure, that is not considered a real neder. Now we say, yeah, okay, and he's adding on to that. So the easy way to say over here is that he's adding on to it, meaning that even in cases where you specify exactly what you want him to eat, and you would think when you specify and you mefarid, that that's a real neder, not pressure. If you want to get pressure, just say, look, come in here for an eat. Why are you saying, eat this, eat this, eat this? Sounds much more like a neder. Kamashmon, that's still considered Nidrei Zeruzin. But that, based on that opinion, then all that we've said till now still stands. Meaning that the Lav Kalbana, the Lav Malkana, all those exceptions will stand because those cases are different. Why are those cases different? The size of the gift is different. So since the size of the gift is different, those claims above that even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would still agree that those are considered real nedarim and not pressure because of the size of the gift. And therefore there's a bigger agenda that he wants to even out the relationship, not simply, right, pressure him to come.
Even the first approach, it only works for one of the two cases.
That's correct. Very good.
They're opposite.
Very good. Right, exactly. So that is true. Even according to the first case, the first opinion where we said the difference was about who is restricting and not. Right? That is, if he's restricting him, he's saying, I will not, if he says, I will not get enough from you, right? If you don't come over, you will not get enough from me if you don't come over and eat, that's clearly pressure. But if he says, I will not get enough from you if you don't come over and eat, that seems like he's trying to even out the relationship. So that's the same case, our brayso that we brought here is the same as that case in the Mishnah, to even out the relationship. And therefore, we see Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that still seems it, and that, Lav Kalbana, right, that I'm a duck, and therefore he would reject that principle of Lav Malka, of Kalbana, but he would still hold of Lav Malka, that position would still stand. Therefore, we upend Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So that's the first thing that we have to, deal with over here. Again, why two explanations will now depend on this price as a solution for what, or how does this explain Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's position? Alright, but then, that's one. The one issue. The other issue I'll just point out, it's a small issue. Which is that when can you say in the Gemara we said a couple of times, it's as if it's my kavod, or it's as if I accepted it. Right? It's as if you did it. Can you only say that when he made a neder about him taking a positive action? I mean that when he asks him to do something and then he doesn't do it, he can say ilu kabalti, it's as if you did it. What happens if he says to him, I don't want you to do something? And then he goes ahead and does it anyway. Can you say to him, as if he didn't do it? Meaning that I mock bid that you don't do such and such. And then you go ahead and do it anyway. Can you say, you know what, I'm not mock bid anymore. Meaning that it doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't bother me. When I took the nether, it was something that bothered me. But at this point, it really doesn't bother me, and it's okay. Right, with the wife. Very similar, something similar to that. So that happens to be Machlokas Rishonim over here, that the Rashba believes that Dafko, the Kiyum Maisim, only when you have given active form can you say, if I accepted it, as if you did it. But when you say something in the negative form, right, then when you're trying to make a vata something, say, don't do this, you can't say it's as if you did it or as if you didn't do it. That doesn't make sense. There are Rishonim that argue on the Rashba, so you know that say that even when it's formally in the negative, that you can say, you know what, it doesn't really bother anymore. It's as if you did what I asked you to do, even though you didn't. Right, so that's the possibility. Alright, that's it. Now, the last line in the Gemara is, now we say, my hagi halach. What is the halacha with regards to this? Tashma. Damar Rabuna. Okay, I'm going to read it the easiest way to read the Gemara now. But this is independent of everything we've done till now. Right, which is, my hagi halach, what's the halacha? Tashma. Damar Rabuna, halacha k'rab lezmin Yaakov. K'inam ravad rab, halacha k'rab lezmin Yaakov. That, remember, the Gemara asked two questions above. Do the Rabbanan argue under Lezer ben Yaakov? And who is the halakha? If so, who is the halakha like? So until this point in the Gemara, the easiest way to read this Gemara is, until this point in the Gemara is addressing, do the Chachamim argue under Lezer ben Yaakov? That we got, the Brisa solved that for us and told us that they do argue. About what they argue, we just discussed. But at least they argue, now the Gemara asks, who's the halakha like? So now when we say, who's the halakha like? It's Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, and the halakha is like Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. That could be the easiest way to read the Gemara. There are other people, and it's, I don't know, the Ran quotes it in the Shem Rabutai, that his Rebbeim, but that the possibility is that this is part of the Gemara's conclusion about what we were asking about, where does Rav Lezer ben Yaakov argue? Meaning that this Brisa, when we say about this Brisa, that we're talking about the original, which part does Rav Lezer ben Yaakov argue about? And that'll depend on where you think this Brisa turns out. So if you see, look in the first line in the Ran, you can just see if that's where he has his Rav Rashi. It says, Klomar, you should know, even the original case, say that the halacha is like Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. And the fact that Rav Huna had to come and say that the halacha is like Rav Lezer ben Yaakov means that the Chachamim argue on Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. So according to the Rav Otav Shildaran, right, that this part of the Gemara is a continuation of the question, do the Chachamim argue on Rav Lezer ben Yaakov or not? And so the Gemara proves it from the fact that what? Even in the Kamaiso, the ECMTC refers to the Mishnah, that even in the Mishnah, Rav Huna says Allah is like Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. If he says Allah is like Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, then then the Chachamim are arguing on Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, either in those first Brisos or in those earlier Mishnahs.
Now, if someone makes a statement, and someone else says, Malach Baal, it could be also that he's saying, nobody argues with him, that's why the Malach Baal.
Well, generally, the Gemara does not assume that. The Gemara will ask, when you say, Halacha, the Gemara says, what, Stam Milsa, so that you want to say? Right, the Gemara is saying that, why do you have to tell, if he's only opinion, then you don't have to tell me the Halacha is like him. The fact that you tell me the Halacha is like him infers that there's an alternative opinion or alternative option, right, to ask. So that's why he says, right, so that's it. So you say that's what the Gemara says. If you continue in the round here, to e lo my muchad mi ravuna. Otherwise, what's the proof from ravuna? The pligi ravuna dima brisa raisa a bright but raisa. He's only talking about the last case we brought in the brisa. That possibly ilchus of tavate. But no, that it's really about the first case. I mean, the Mishnah that he's saying the halachas like those, and Yaakov that teaches us that he argues. Now, the Ran rejects that and says no. Like I explained the Gemara, which was the easier way to understand it. The Gemara's ended its quest for knowing whether the Chachamim argue. And now they're answering the question: is the halacha like Rav Lezer ben Yaakov or not? That has nothing to do with whether the Chachamim argue anymore. Okay, so now
that's a stupid. And I apologize for not really. The last brisa, doesn't that not go to the Ben Kalba issue? That means
only according to one opinion. The Ran, we explained that there are two ways to understand the Gemara.
So there is
that. Well, one way, this Brisa is exactly like the Mishnah we brought above, and then would upend the Kalbana, and the other way, it does not.
Okay. And the second question was just, when it says, Lo Bil Chachamim, the Gemara says, my lava must be on the second case, on both cases. I just want to know, maybe say it's only for the second case.
Oh, because of the fact that that's, according to this opinion, it's because of Rav Huna says, Allah has filled up his name, Yaakov. I mean, where's he saying Allah Rav Lezer ben Yaakov? It must be because he's talking about the Mishnah. And everybody, people know about Brisa. Nobody knew about Brisa. When he says Allah Rav Lezer, that means he's talking about the Mishnah. It means an earlier case. couldn't be that Rav Huna is coming along to say halacha like the Braisa, because those weren't so well known to the Moraim. It must be he was talking about the Mishnah, and therefore
it's not proven from the Mishnah itself, but somehow we know that
Rav Huna is addressing the Mishnah. That's the Gemara's case. How do we know he's talking about Kamaisa? It's because Rav Huna said the halacha is like Rav and Yaakov. That's the Rabbi's Ran. According to the Ran, that's not the Filu Kamaisa, is because he says here. That's the Gemara's conclusion here is that my level will come in afilu kamaisa, right? Bishmarmina the big shmarmina, right? So that the Gemara concludes that even in the Mishnah case that they would argue with him, or in the first case is the earlier Mishnah that we brought, not necessarily our Mishnah. So it's not conclusive.
The bottom line is the definite machlokas and
the question is how broad is that machlokas and the halakha goes from this. So now you'll see the Ran, now the Indian halakha. If you look in the Ran, the Indian halakha. So it's right across from the word Mishnah in the Gemara, the Indian halakha. So what's halakha now? Because depending on how big you think the machlokas is and how big you think the halakha is like, then you gotta find. So the Indian halakha, he says, Kim the Sika Hilkasuk Rebazim and Yaakov. The halakha is like Rebazim and Yaakov, like we just said. You'll see. Then, therefore, the V also pays Rishon Shepirashno Lamala. Right? So according to the first opinion that we said above, that the Yeter Alkain, right, comes to teach you what? That Kalba Ano is not a good claim. The high Yotam came Babu Mar, the Apple of the Eagle Ming or Lab Kalbana. Even you can say that Amar Blazim Yaakov, Nidre Zeruzin Havi. It's still Nidre Zeruzin. Then, Naktin and Hochi. The halacha will be that is a Nidre Zeruzin and the claim of Lab Kalbana is not. Vajrina and Mimaidam Rinin Lael Basugin. And we reversed our opinion from above. To Mother Lezal Hechel, the Eagle Ming or Lab Kalbana, the Nadr Gamor Havi. That's what we said above. And we reject that. The Maskina Leta, Uchas Tavina. And then, in the Maskana, we reject that as he wrote above, which was what we explained around, right? We just explained. Umiyu, Afagav Dajrina, me time is a Lav Kalbana, this is what you were saying. So, that even though we reject the claim of Lav Kalbana, time is a Lav Malkana, Kata Ite, that still stays in place. So, Allah, according to that first opinion, right, that Allah will be that you cannot make a claim of Lav Kalbana, or make Lav Kalbana is not relevant, and therefore it will be Nidre Zeruzin, according to Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, right? And everything will be considered Nidre Zeruzin, except for that one case of Lav Malkana, or the case of Ones, where the Neder was forced by the invitee. Right? Now, according to the other parish, which we said was what? That Lav Kalbana stands evenly in the time of Lav Kalbana, Mishum Ziyayle Matanam Ruba, all through the size of the gift. That stays the Maskana. Yeah, Kadakina time of Lav Malkana. Right, just like we say the Lav Malkana stands. Hakanami Nakina time Lav Kalbana. That stands also the Lav in the end. Right, if it's a Rayu, Koheka, the Inu Mode, Rabbi Lazar, the Nezah, how
you listen. Ben Kaba goes away, then Malkana also has to go away.
Right.
If Ben Kabbal goes away, then Malka also has to go away.
Not necessarily, because it depends why you think that Ben Kabbal was
in.
Wait,
and interpretation is saying that they're the same. It's the size of the gift, and whether.
Right, when it's the size of the gift, then you're right. Then they have to be, then they're tied one to another. And therefore, if you're here, they're upholding both of them, and they both stand. Because the rejection below has nothing to do with the size of the gift, it has to do with the pirut of the nether, right? Whereas in the other opinion, the reason has to do with who is he restricting and not. Right, so therefore, since he's restricting the other party and he's getting hanah from the other party, that's right. The reciprocation is the problem, and as Bryce upends that issue, right, and therefore the glav kalbana drops, the glav malkana does not drop. Okay, so that he says near shiskim ramban bihilkotav, and he says that's the way ramban seems to learn the sugya, according to that latter opinion that anah kalbana and malkana stand lahalacha, right, and kutvarav nearly. And I think that's the way it works. So again, it's very important. The reason I explained it two different ways in the Ran originally, because that's major enough to me. Halacha, meaning that again, what are we upending in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the end? When we say halacha to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, what does that mean? I mean, when is it considered Nidre Zeruzin, and when is it considered a regular nether? And that will depend on when this brisa that we brought at the end, that says the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar argue, what's it doing? Is it a case independent of everything we spoke above, or is it a case that's similar to the first mission we brought? And that'll have Nachminos the halacha. All right. Maybe just quickly, let's just go through the sugi now. Next Mishnah, Nidre Havai. Right, so the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak started out with four types of Nidarim that are automatically fall away. One of them was Nidre Havai, Havai being like an exaggeration. Right, so he says, Amar, Kone Milore Iti Bederchazek Ole Mitzrayim. You know, Kone, if I didn't see like a number of people left Mitzrayim, like 600,000 people walking over there. Right, Im Lore Iti Nakash Kakura Beta Bader. I didn't see a snake the size of the board that's used in the presses, right? I mean, a huge, you know, a huge log or a huge press. I mean, it's a massive snake, right? So these are both exaggerations, right? These are beyond what normally people do. So there are two ways to learn why these are not Nidarim. The Rush says these aren't Nidarim is because this is the way people speak, That's the way people express themselves. They, when they see something that is beyond their comprehension, right, they also speak in a way that is beyond comprehension, meaning that they...
Hyperbole.
Right, hyperbole, exaggeration are the way they speak, and therefore these are not Dharma, because this is, people communicate in this way. And in Dharma we go after Lashon B'nei Adam, and since people would speak in this way, he's not trying to answer himself here, he's trying to make a point by Mekhtar Varav, to establish his position and say, this is really what I mean. That's one possibility. The Ran divides up the cases into two cases and says each case is a Chiddush. He says the first case, people normally talk like that. People will say that when they see a lot of people, that they'll exaggerate and say it's like Yotzei Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. And that but there was that number of people, that's an expression, that's a type of that's exaggeration. The second case, by the Nachash, people don't speak like that. That's, again, it's going to be, we're going to see this mark.
One's
what?
One's true, one's not.
Oh, so that's the Ran says, exactly. That one is...
It's just under that one, I guess.
Right. Oh.
Why the
saying that the people I saw were 600,000. Kit Ole Mitzrayim.
But it's based on that.
Alright, based
but also
on that.
But also based about the, I mean, it's that, he's saying there's no snake that fit.
Right. So he's saying that here, that the Ran is saying something to what you're saying, which is that the first case is truth, because that's the way people say. If they see 200,000 people, they'll say, Ole Mitzrayim.
It's built into language.
Right. It's a fair expression of that, and he's trying to tell the truth.
It's a million-dollar question. It's an expression ready to,
So that's, but as opposed to the second case, the Ran believes, by court's based upon it, and I'll tell you why. If it was just talking about the size of the snake, you'd be right. It's the same case. That the Gemara says that the case here is that he's talking about that the snake was crazy. Something like that. He was mixed up, I don't know, like Kor's base about. And therefore, when he says this expression, it's clearly not true. Okay, so if you see it, therefore it's clearly not true.
So it should be less of a chiddush.
What?
It should be less of a chiddush.
Right, so no, it's a bigger chiddush now, because even though he's telling Sheker, right, then we still say it's a derech kuzma. It's still an exaggeration, even though he's not really telling the truth. In the first case, he's expressing himself, he's telling the truth, then we say it's an exaggeration. Even in the second case where he's not telling the truth, meaning that this is not the way people speak necessarily, nevertheless, we still say it's a nidrei habay. Right, now, next line, Tana, nidrei habay mutarim, shvus habay asurim. Now, this major machlokes we're showing here about what the gears is. Either the gears is just that over nidrei habay, by nidarim, right, it works, these exaggerations work. Whereas by Shavuos, Havai, Asurin, they do not work by Shavuos. Right? Meaning that they're opposite. The conclusion is what? That Nidarma works. By Shavuos, it does not work. Right? Whereas there's another person that we've shown him that Tana Nidri Havai Mutarim, and so are Shavuos. It works just like by Neder, it works by Shavuos. You'll see that in the side of the Gemara, he has also their Sfar Macherim, has that gear. So just like Nidri Havai are also Mutarim, so are Shavuos. And they're obviously big enough. Kamina Lalafa, which way you learn? Do Shavuos have this exaggeration factor in it or not? Right? Why? What would be the difference? Right? Shavuos are more chomer because they, right? As we've said this all along, Shavuos have a more stringent aspect to them, and therefore they are. What do you call it? They therefore we're going to have a stronger, or we're not going to allow Shavuos Havai. That's number one. And number two is, which we'll get into the Gemara tomorrow. We're not going to get into today. Is that there is such thing as a Shavuos Shav. There's no such thing as a nether shav. Meaning that if you take a nether for not, right, there's no malchus, there's no lav against a nether shav. Whereas by a shvuah shav, there is a lav. So even though, meaning that you took a shvuah, it was meaningless, there's a violation of a lav for doing that. And therefore, maybe that'll make the differentiation here between shvuah and nether. And then, the last possibility is that with the Ran. The Ran specifically differentiated between the types of nether that you took. One is where you took a nether and it's the way people express themselves, and that's considered an exaggeration. The other nether is where you're really lying, quote-unquote lying. You're not telling the truth, but you're trying to make a point. So maybe in that, we'll differentiate in Shavuot. In Shavuot, where you're telling the truth, and that's the way people express themselves, we'll say that's not a Shavuot Shav, and that's called a Shavuot Havai. Whereas maybe when you're not telling the truth, like Koras Beis Habad, by Shavuot, that will not apply, and that will not work, because you're not telling the truth, and it becomes a Shavuot Shav. And a Shavuot Shav, you can get punished for, as opposed to a Nidrei Allah. Right? So I'm just giving you possibilities. We'll get deeper into tomorrow and the Gemara a little bit, and later today, but I don't know if we'll get all the way through it today, but just understanding that the gears could be different here, and that'll depend on what you see the differentiation between nether and shvuah. Okay?
Professor said, nidrei havai mutarim means that the nether is not to offend.
Yeah, that's what the Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says it right here. Nidre Havai in Atopsin. We know that for sure. That part we know for sure. The question is why, and then how does that apply to Shavuos? Alright? Hey, Vidami Shavuos Havai. What's an exaggerated, you know, Shavuah? Ilay Adamar Shavuim Lower Iti Bidakhazeh Midam. He says, I didn't see on this way, da da da, Midam Kamar. He's saying something. So then it's not Shavuah Shav. Rabbi, Adamar Shavuah Shavuah Iti. No, not that Shavuah did not, in Lower Iti, I did not see, but Shavuah that I did see. So I'm really Rabbah and Cain, Lamalay the Maymar, then what do you have to tell me that it's a Shavuah Shav? That's obviously, he says, I saw this, he didn't see this. Right? Vod, Zumi the Nether, Tani. It's supposed to be the same as, we're comparing Shavuah to Nether, it should be the same as the Nether that we mentioned in our Mishnah. Right, so the, I guess, El Amar Rabbah Ba'omer Yesru Perot Olam Alai B'Shavuah. The Shavuah's like this. All the fruits in the world should be restricted to me in a Shavuah. Im lo ra'iti b'derech hazeh kol Mitzrayim. I didn't see on this way, right, Derech Mitzrayim. So that's the, he's expressing himself in a way, and he's not getting a Shavuah directly about what he saw, meaning that he's trying to be Amet Yivarav. He's trying to, what? Strengthen his position and say, he says, I'll be restricting all the fruits in the world if, what? If I saw such a thing.
What was the period before that? Vod Dumi Zenezer Ketanya?
Which ones? I'm sorry?
Vod Dumi Zenezer Ketanya.
Meaning that, what?
Was that a second question? Or?
Yeah, that you want, Vod Nezer, that you have to parallel it to our Mishnah. I mean, you want it to be similar to a nether.
Right.
So if he says Shavuah that I saw this, you can't take a nether that I saw this. Nether doesn't work in the positive form, meaning that you want it to formulate, you compare nether to Shavuah in the statement afterwards. If you compare nether to Shavuah, then you have to create a Shavuah that you could do with a nether also, something that you could do with a nether. And you can't do with a nether, Shavuah Shara'iti, a Shavuah that I saw this amount of people. That doesn't work with nether. You can't say nether that I saw this many people. A nether is about restricting the chayfetch. It's not about taking making a positive statement, right? So you're saying two problems with the way you're trying to set it up. So he comes up with this formulation that Shavuah Lara'iti B'derech Mitzrayim, right? Only, I'll restrict something else if I didn't see like on this Golden Mitzrayim, then it should feel like this. So alright, you know, we're gonna stop here because the next week it goes way